The Typical Mistake.
Host, General Producer, Lycanthrope, Guillermo Rubens. Voiceover and Mysterious Charm, Pablo Balone. Technical Operation, Luciano Savignano. And a dazzling array of trained monkeys manning the phones.
A typical mistake again. Another Monday, another topic. Hello, Vanessa.
Hello, Guillermo. Hello, Esteban. How are you guys doing?
I've invented a new word.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we say in English hi and we say bye, right?
Yes.
And I thought, you know, why can't we be like ciao or like ahoy in Czech?
Oh, aloha. Aloha in Hawaiian means both hello and goodbye.
So right. I thought, I. And we'll have different tones, like, I. And then it's like, I.
Well, this is not the topic at all, but when my parents went to Sweden, they told, well, you must know this.
Hey.
They have a word that is tack.
And thank you.
And it means everything, according to some Swedes that I talked. It can mean thank you, it can mean goodbye, it can mean move over, or, and they have like a code with the tack, so we could look it up. And if you say tack is one thing, tack, tack, or tack, tack, tack. It's like a code in Sweden. I don't know.
Right.
Heard of it?
Well, I know tack for it. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you,
yeah. Yes.
But
I've never heard of I. So I would like us to start to use this terminology.
Why not?
Language is a living entity.
Yes.
I will try anything.
Okay. Know?
At least once.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Let's
and
do it.
And if it hurts, we can always say I.
I. Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So, Vanessa, you are in the know. I have to say publicly something. Vanessa is, for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, she started working out, and she looks awesome.
Thank you. Yes.
No, I saw her today, and the stomach is flatter in
Yay.
2 weeks, just in 2 weeks.
She gave it
to me.
Well, if I could be like that in 2 weeks, I would start today.
Well,
because the stomach is flatter. You look healthier, but especially you have like an endorphin glow.
Oh, okay.
You look like energetic and energized.
Well, you can also get that glow from something else.
Sex. I don't know.
There's that look.
Oh my God! Right before? No, I'm just kidding. You guys, no. Well, you know, we talked about resolutions, and I had been starting this resolution before January 1st. So this is technically not in 2 weeks, but rather 8 weeks that I've started the process of trying to lose
Wait, today's the 25th of January, so if you started the New Year's resolution in the New Year...
But you started it early.
I started it about 8 weeks before the New Year.
Oh!
Yeah, so
eight,
this is...
2 months?
Yeah.
In November?
Yeah, I started really, because I turned 35 in November, and and shit starts to go really downhill, and I'm like, you know what, I gotta reassess. I was about 15 pounds lighter before I came to Argentina. So it's tough gaining that weight because of food, which will be our subject today. But yeah, I love food. I love eating. And here in Argentina, I don't know, it's the sweets, the ice cream, the dulce de leche.
The family.
Yeah, the family, the gatherings, the asados. And I just lost control. So I am back now. It takes a lot of willpower, but I'm getting back into where I was before I arrived.
Well, very
here.
Good. Congratulations on your looks.
Thank you for noticing.
But also on your willpower.
Yes.
Because it's all about the willpower.
It is. Right? It's all about it. But it does get, once you start it, it does get easier. Because, as you know, when you start eating less, your stomach shrinks.
That's true.
And you're just not as hungry.
That's true.
And it's about portion sizes.
It's about portion sizes. It's also
absolutely.
What you consume, too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, you can consume little quantities of something, but if it has 1,000 horrible bad calories for
yes.
you, the wrong kind of fats, it ain't doing you any good.
Very good point. The when I swim and I work out,
mm-hmm.
it's like my body says no to the, you know, ice cream and no to the cake, and the body asks for salad. Which is a shitty thing to ask for, but it's a virtuous cycle.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
So yeah, I wish I was there. I want to be. I started last week I went swimming once, and the plan is this week to go twice.
Okay. I'm in my workout clothes right now today because my goal is after the show to go directly into the gym, and that's half the battle. They say if you at least put your workout gear on, you are like 70% more likely to actually
work out. Well, and I think what makes it 100% is when you pay in advance.
Yes.
That's the only thing that gets me off my big fat ass.
Always the money element. All right, well, let's get to work. Today we're going to talk about food, and especially ethnic food, and especially ethnic food abroad.
Right, ethnic food abroad and here.
And here.
And for those of our listeners, probably maybe in your country, we're going to touch that too. And also really...
Well, we're going to touch our friends? Wait, what?
We're going to touch on that.
We have long arms.
Okay.
And big hearts.
The long arm of the law.
That's right.
Yes, so send us... For all of our listeners out there, send us, Facebook us, what's your favorite food? So if you're Polish, tell us what's a great, yummy, traditional dish from Poland or
Bulgaria.
Ireland or Bulgaria, wherever. I'd love
Mongolian.
To hear. Yes.
They have those dumplings that were so light.
Mm.
Yes. Especially when they're smothered in yak yogurt.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and butter. And it's butter. In Mongolia, you can have
whatever
with butter, cream, grease, like actual grease, and it's all fried.
And
it's all from the yak.
Well, I know the yak, though, is starting to gain a lot of popularity last year with this whole bulletproof coffee where you're putting butter in your coffee, which is what they do in Mongolia.
Yeah, you put it in your tea.
And they
Is it called bulletproof?
We're going to have to research that. I don't know why, but it's called bulletproof coffee, and the difference is that you're putting butter in the coffee.
Ugh.
I've never tried it, but I tried
the tea with butter, and
it's horrible.
Really?
Horrible.
I have a feeling coffee would be better, though.
And I will tell you, it was like 30 degrees below zero outside.
Okay.
So you would think that tea with fat or butter
would
or cream
would be a little bit tasty.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
No, it's not.
But they do it there in Mongolia because obviously it gives you...
They have to.
Yeah.
They have nothing else to do.
Okay, so Esteban, you have something about...
Bulletproof, I'm sorry, it's a black coffee blended with grass-fed butter. So,
grass-fed?
Yeah, it's starting to really gain popularity.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be on the Ulaanbaatar Starbucks menu very, very soon.
A guarantee.
Absolutely. No, so, you know, we wanted to talk about foreign foods a little bit, and I have some interesting facts.
Okay.
And, of course, foreign food. What does foreign cuisine really mean in our society today? For example...
In Argentina or in general?
Well, in general. I mean, let's say in a Western society. I think today, for example, when we talk about pasta, even though we always associate it with Italy, but we all know that it originally comes from China, and it was brought back to Italy from...
By Marco Polo.
By Marco Polo,
that I didn't know this, but I learned last year that when he did all the traveling, he was 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
He was a younger man.
I always picture Marco Polo like, you know,
in older,
50
yeah.
years.
Right.
But no, he did all the traveling.
He was dead.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Sorry, yes. It's Chinese, Italian.
So we have to think, for example, I think that in today, I mean, my Irish mother even makes her own, well, she doesn't make spaghetti, but we used to eat spaghetti.
She boils it.
And, you know, we never ate ethnic foods whatsoever.
Of course.
I think that's, you know, something that's quite a part of everyone's...
Nowadays, pizza and pasta are Western for everyone.
But anyway, I have a survey here.
Okay.
And this is regarding, it's hard to find it from many different countries, so I have to revert to the United States, that the most popular food in the United States as of a Chicago-based research firm called Technomic.
That's your city.
That's right. Technomic, in 2015, did this. And the first most popular type of food was Chinese food in the United States, with over 76% of the people liking Chinese food.
Okay.
And there's some 43,000 Chinese restaurants.
Wow,
and like 42,000 of those are in New York City.
Well, but to me, that's such an umbrella term, like Chinese.
Well, you see, but that's...
It could be anything, because for me especially, the thing that is the most important in a Chinese restaurant is... how greasy it is, and how oily, and how, you know, fried. Because the most, let's say, industrial Chinese restaurants are all the same. They all have even the same menu with the numbers and whatever. And everything tastes, you know, very rich,
well,
and
for,
it's bad for your stomach.
For example, in the United States, that most of the, you know, China is a very, gastronomically speaking, you know, culinary speaking, it's a very varied country.
Yeah.
But most of the food which is Chinese in the United States has a tendency to be Cantonese food mm-hmm. or Sichuan, which is a little bit spicier. Mm-hmm. So those are the two that people are familiar with. But be that as it may.
And here in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, there is a lot of Taiwan.
There's a lot of Taiwan.
A lot of Taiwan.
Yes.
That's right. A lot of
Taiwan. And it's delicious.
Yes.
But there's, in my experience at least in Buenos Aires, a very limited number of Chinese or Asian restaurants that are a little bit, you know, healthier, that do the light oil and take care of what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very salty, high in sodium Chinese
yes,
food.
Extremely.
But nothing
extremely.
Better after, you know, it's great hungover food. It's like day after, nice Chinese food. Yeah, order in, you're all, it's amazing.
What's your favorite Chinese dish?
I'm always the General Chow's chicken kind of girl. I love just the orangey and a little bit of fried rice. Always have to get the fortune cookie.
Uh-huh.
And
which is very American.
Very, very, right?
It doesn't even really... You do see it in Europe sometimes, but very, very seldom.
Right. It's like if you go to Japan, there's actually no sushi rolls. It's just... It's all more sashimi, nigiri.
Right.
But the sushi roll is something that just became more... It just doesn't exist in Japan as much. So
right.
It's funny. It's interesting. Well, I want to hear then... Okay, Chinese...
Sorry. You just mentioned fortune cookies, and
yes.
I just saw there is a company selling what they call fake fortune cookies, that they're called unfortunate fortune cookies. And inside, they have like unexpected messages. The most, the top-selling one is this one. I'll let you read it.
What does it say? It says...
Oops. Sorry.
You just ate cat. I love that.
That's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
That's very good.
That
clever.
Is very. Okay, here are the winning lottery numbers for September 3rd, 2010.
Well,
this is great. I want one
great.
Of those.
Yes,
where can we get this?
If you Google them, you can buy them. They're called unfortunate fortune cookies.
I like that.
And there's so many of them, and they're really funny. Especially the most popular, you just ate cat.
Yeah, that's very good.
Sorry.
But anyway, so after Chinese was 76%, then we go to Mexican. Of course, in the United States, Mexican food is everywhere.
You can it is my number one.
I love
it.
Mexican
is the best.
Food,
which?
Mexican food.
Oh, yes.
Like,
it's
if
delicious.
I had to eat one, to pick one cuisine that I had to eat every day for the rest of my life, where you could not veer away from that, it would absolutely 100% be Mexican.
Well, it's also an extremely complicated and varied, you know, cuisine. I mean, just the whole thing of making mole.
Mm,
I mean, if you make an authentic mole sauce.
For me, if I had to choose, Peruvian.
Peruvian.
I love Peruvian. I'm in love with Peruvian food.
Right. So ceviche all day, every day?
Yeah, ceviche,
so
not in particular.
Things,
yeah.
But yeah, I like because, you know, Peruvian has a lot of fusion with Japan.
Right.
Yes.
You know that Peru is, I think, the only country in the world outside Japan
mm-hmm.
that has had a Japanese president.
Right. I know
That's
that.
Right.
That is
Fujimori,
true.
Born
yes.
in Japan.
Yes.
Well, that was the big question.
Exactly.
Because when he was being tried, his mother, they even asked his mother, she was alive, and she said she couldn't remember where he was born.
Yeah. Because to qualify, you know, to be a candidate to be Peru's president, he said he was born in Peru.
Right.
But then when he was, you know...
When he was trying to be extradited or something
yes.
like that,
he said
Japanese.
He was...
No, I just remembered, you know, was actually born in Japan.
And how does a mother not remember?
I
love it.
Ask, you know, you should ask who? The mother of Ted Cruz.
Yes, I know.
Because
that's
nowadays,
right.
Ted Cruz is...
he was born in Canada, wasn't he?
He was born in Canada, but
Calgary.
Now the mother conveniently doesn't remember how many years she had been living. Because she's, they say, American.
Right.
But if she had been out of the U.S. for a number of years, then Ted Cruz is not American and cannot be president.
Blame Canada.
That's from,
best South Park episode
South
ever.
South Park. So now, you know, that apparently the Republican primary is going to be either Trump or Cruz. They are, you know, number one and two. All the Trump people are saying Cruz isn't, you know, even American. And the Cruz people are saying Trump isn't even human.
I have an idea. Let's just send them both to Canada.
Yay.
Poor Canada.
I know,
nobody cares.
I know, in case both of them lose, that would be great. Number three spot is Marco Rubio, that is... Even I don't know. They are all terrible.
Yeah, we've I don't know what's gonna happen.
They are all
this
year. Bad candidates. Well, anyway, we should go to the first commercial.
Oh, yes. But we haven't even
sorry
passed the second Mexican food.
Sorry,
let's I know.
That.
But
third is Italian.
Yeah, I could have guessed that. Okay,
and they say that Italian food is the one food which you find in the United States in all types of neighborhoods, the most elegant of neighborhoods and the...
Well, I would say it's also one of the easiest to make.
Yes, right? Because I have to tell you that when I go out to eat, the last thing that I want to go out to eat is Italian.
I agree too. Because, I love it because it's the one thing that I feel I can cook relatively well at home.
Exactly. And I'm sorry to all the those amazing Italian
and there
cooks
are,
out there.
Absolutely.
But I just personally, for me...
But let's face it, in Buenos Aires alone, how many Italian or let's say restaurants that sell pasta are there? Let's say, I don't know, 50,000.
Yeah, here it's...
Let's imagine 50,000. Justin, we're out of those 50,000. How many are special?
No, they're all the 20, same to me. I don't
30.
Know.
They're all, but I think they're like all very good.
La Parolacchia?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
It's one of them, right?
Yeah.
But how many? Out of, you know, you can buy ravioli or gnocchi in 50,000, maybe again.
Yeah.
10, 20, 30.
Like, I prefer to go to La Juvenil, buy it, and then cook it at home.
La Juvenil is excellent. You know what? We were just talking about this with two of my friends in the optical shop today, and they were telling me about these delicious mozzarella-filled gnocchis, which they have there, which I love. I think they're delicious.
Well, since we're talking about that, one block from my house is the only pasta maker in Buenos Aires that does everything from scratch.
Wow.
That is called La Abuela Masa, and it's you go there, you go in there, and you see them with the little fierrito,
thing. That takes a lot of time.
Rolling, and they do each spaghetti.
All right, I know what you're bringing us for the next show then.
Okay.
All right, we will be right back, you guys. Now to commercial.
...94.7... Radio Palermo. Producciones independientes.
Liceo Cultural Británico. Casa Central. Callao 362. Teléfono 4374-5668. www.liceobritanico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
The typical mistake should not be listened to while operating heavy machinery. You can reach us at thetypicalmistake@hotmail.com and on MSN Messenger, same address.
Myself up off the ground, and all you used to do was criticize me, but now I find the good and I emphasize it. See, you would always get so sensitive and try to turn your transgressions into my guiltiness, but now I'm certain of the way I live and what I'm responsible for in this twisted game, and it's such a shame that you try to make pain another word for my name. Whether giving or receiving, it's one and the same, just one more link in your long ass chain. But it's time to break this frame.
Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai.
Whatever pronunciation. You know that this is like a portmanteau.
You know, I'm sorry.
Of Jamaica and Iroquois, because he's a...
Jamiroquai, I love it. Yeah.
It's from because Jamaica, and he has Iroquois, the Indian, the American Indian.
Iroquois.
Yeah. It actually reminds me...
Because he lives in Illinois?
It actually reminds me when once I was a waitress in college, and I asked somebody asked me, "Can I order the chamomile tea?"
For chamomile.
Yeah, and I didn't have the guts to correct him, but I was like, "Sure, one chamomile coming right up."
Why not? Yeah, I didn't know. What is it? Then it's.
Jamiroquai.
I always saw it written.
He's a fun, quirky little guy.
I never heard of this person. Of course, I didn't.
Person is a singer? Person is a very.
What am I?
It's a big word.
I've never heard of this.
Yes.
Anyway.
Lucas,
oh,
what is it?
Oh, it wasn't. Oh, it was Fatboy Slim. Oh. So we were all wrong because somebody said Jamiroquai.
Yeah,
mine didn't work.
Well, okay, so let's get
Fatboy Slim.
You gave me these things.
Fatboy Slim is the one of, don't say, like it should pray. What is it?
Oh, God, we're sinking here.
You gave me the headphones that don't work.
I'm so sorry.
Hear what
I gave you.
You don't want me to contribute anything today. You just want me to sit there, and I'm waiting for someone to say something, and I don't hear you speak.
I'm so sorry. It was Lucas. Okay.
Esteban, did you want some wine with that cheese?
It's the other way.
Actually, I love my husband. Every time he used to think that if something, like he did something wrong, he would just say, "I apologize." So for everything, it was like, "You didn't do this." He'd be like, "I apologize."
And that's enough.
And that was it. I'm like, "No, doesn't make it right just because you apologize." Like, and then he would say, "I apologize."
Very good, Matthias. Go, Matthias. We support him.
Okay. Blake.
Yeah, let me just finish with the two. We had 10, but we're going to keep it too short. The fourth one, believe it or not, is Japanese.
Okay. Yes.
And that includes, of course, sushi. With 32%, so the rating went down quite a lot from 71% to 32%. And then number five.
And this is if you are just tuning in now, these are the
most popular ethnic foods in the United States. And then number five at 32%, tying, is Greek, believe it or not.
Okay. See, I wouldn't have thought Greek.
Do you have to break the plates after that?
No, actually, you know what? They do that in some, but in a lot of places
they don't actually do that.
But there is that one Greek restaurant here where they do break them all the time.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, I've never done it. I'll have to try it.
It's a mess.
All right, well, so that's interesting. I'm really not surprised that Chinese was number one, and I would have definitely put Mexican food right up there. Right.
But that was in the United States. But in the UK, two types of food which are extremely popular, which...
Shepherd's pie and spotted dick.
Oh, I love shepherd's pie. Indian food.
Oh, absolutely.
Indian food is amazing.
Indian.
But again, Indian, we're talking about like 10 countries in one, right? It could be anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in Germany, Turkish food is extremely popular due to the fact that they have the largest Turkish population outside of Turkey.
Okay.
And in France...
What would be a very popular Turkish dish?
Oh, any type of the kebab. Shish kebab, doner kebab. And then, of course, they have the shawarma or the gyros, as they call it.
Yeah.
In France...
That's good food.
Whereas an American,
Turkish.
You're like, can I get a gyro?
In France, of course...
You did the shrill impression very
well. Lebanese...
Vietnamese food is yummy.
What do you think is the most popular foreign food in Japan?
Chinese.
The most popular foreign food in Japan. Oh my
American.
Gosh.
No.
Pizza?
No.
Hamburger?
No.
Fried chicken?
No. Far away from that. French food.
French food.
If you think about it, the Japanese love things which are French. When they travel, I've been on tours with Japanese groups already, and when they travel to France, they travel with this special type of a book, and when they buy the bottle of wine, they ask the restaurant, these are these good restaurants, to soak the label, they dry it, and then they have it like in their scrapbook.
Cool. Do they take a lot of pictures? I'm just kidding.
And do you know what is very popular in Australia?
Fried kangaroo.
Well, Asian food.
Well, there's a lot of Asian food, but what is truly loved?
Fried kangaroo.
No.
No, what?
Argentinian food.
Really?
Wow.
I'm shocked.
Australia has a lot of Argentines.
It has a lot of Argentinians, and it has also a lot of Chileans.
Okay.
So. No, but it's perfect.
Fascinating.
Okay.
Fascinating. Very good.
So we have Blake listening. So hello, Blake.
Hey, Blake.
You.
Thank you for responding to all of my emails. That was great. I loved every one I got back from you.
So Blake says, if a person lives outside of the United States, can they say that hamburgers are their favorite ethnic food?
And
if
maybe yes, because hamburgers come from Germany, from Hamburg.
Right.
So if a person lives outside of the U.S., oh, Blake is saying that the hamburgers are from the U.S.
Well, you just said they're from Germany.
Well, yes, but that's what he's saying.
Oh, well, yeah.
They're known as, because the real hamburger was more like a little bit of a, like a bull, you know, it was like a small, like a large type of a meatball or something like that. So they're not patties as we know them today.
Okay. Yeah, but I think Blake is also asking if hamburgers qualify as ethnic food, because by ethnic food, I think all of us picture something like...
Well, I think if people say... Think about American food or North American food. Obviously,
hamburger hot dog.
And it comes up immediately.
But I think hamburger is the most universal food of wherever. I feel like no matter where you're from, no matter what, everybody knows what a hamburger is.
Yeah, but I think there's one that's even more so.
Which
pizza.
Yeah, pizza as well.
And can I tell you something? That according to Google, in 2014, the most... sought after type of restaurant in the world was a pizzeria.
Wow.
Even more.
Which?
Anyone. And they said that in 2014, which was the year of the World Cup, more people were looking for information about pizzerias than they were for information about the World Cup.
Nice.
What?
Interesting.
Wow.
So interesting.
For the love of pizza.
Yep.
Yeah. And second part of Blake's question, if
a person lives in the United States, can they say that asado is their favorite ethnic food?
Yes.
Well,
yes, I agree.
I don't really know, to be honest with you, because if you think of it, of course, it's done in a different way, but it's basically, it's a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
But the cuts are different.
Cuts are different, yes, of course, but the
and
cuts
And we
are,
eat the entrails.
Yes, I know, which are horrible. Which is
I love them.
Which is why I always bring my own food to
Who loves salchicha parrillera here?
Me.
I don't.
No. Who loves kidneys?
Me.
Not me.
Me too.
I can eat every... I love everything. I just don't love...
Sweetbreads.
Sweetbreads are my favorite.
Yes, me too.
Like, those are my number one.
I was just at a barbecue, at an asado a week ago in the suburb here, and I brought my own little bife de lomo.
Ah! Tenderloin.
Filet mignon, it's called.
Okay.
Like, filet mignon. And I was told then when I got there, they said, oh, this is a vegetarian barbecue. And I thought, oh, my God. Okay. I said, well, can you cook your food?
A vegetarian barbecue.
Yeah.
That
well,
is
vegetarian
an oxymoron.
Asado,
that is like a democratic pyramid.
And,
yeah.
So, and then I said, yes, of course. Well, I said, I will. How about if we wait, we'll cook all the food and then I'll cook it at the very end and
right.
I'll clean it. Then there were 10 of us. There were only 3 people who were vegetarians.
Ugh.
And then I have to say, I brought 3 small lomos and I got one, and one guy took 2.
Ah!
There are some rules to follow when having an asado.
That's so wrong. That's just so wrong.
Well, speaking of Argentine foods, I don't know if you guys caught it, but there was a great video on BuzzFeed that has American students trying Argentine food for the first time. So they tried different things like empanadas, milanesas. They tried locro, which was like the funniest thing. But basically, they sat them down, and they're trying morcilla. Really, really funny
Maybe you
stuff.
Can explain what a morcilla is for the audience.
Well, morcilla is just like, it's blood sausage.
Blood sausage.
So, and actually, maybe you can explain, what is locro?
No, Esteban can.
No, well, locro, I personally don't like it very much. It can be done 2 different ways. They can cook it in the husks of corn.
Uh-huh.
And it's, there's corn in it.
Okay, what
and
else?
What else is in there? There's some kind of polenta.
Well, depending on who cooks
it,
right?
Yeah, it depends. Of course, it comes from the northern part of the country, you know.
All right, well, let's listen here to an audio clip of Americans trying Argentine food.
Okay.
It's like a dumpling. Like a dumpling of Argentina.
Yeah. I want that chicken. Argentinians love their meat. And they know how to cook it.
I don't love it.
What?
I don't know. It's something, I don't love the meat in it.
More empanadas, please. From far away, I thought it looked like baby diarrhea.
They're like,
but, like, up close, it looks like baby
vomit.
It's like the color of mac and cheese, which is among the greatest colors in the world. Oh, this is good!
Not a fan.
Should we just pour the entire thing, like, even though we don't know it?
Is that crazy?
It smells delicious.
Mmm. Oh man, I like this.
That's really good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a crepe, which, as a French person, I should say, is a French dish and not an Argentinian dish. Mmm. Oh my god.
Oh my god!
Is it gross?
It's so good!
Ooh. Oh my god.
This looks so good.
All right, there you have it. So you guys go to BuzzFeed if you want to watch that whole video. And now we have to go to commercial, so we will be right back.
Okay.
Radio Palermo.
A partir de ahora, es Tiempo de Salud. Todos los martes a las 11, escucha a los que más saben para acercarte a una vida más saludable. Tiempo de Salud. Un programa de Fundamed, Fundación para la Medicina. Los martes a las 11 horas por Radio Palermo 94.7.
Nos subimos a un tren cuyo destino es una incógnita. Con él vas a llegar a lugares desconocidos, al menos para todos nosotros. Vas a viajar con pasajeros muy interesantes.
Tren nocturno anuncia su horario de partida a las 23. Tren nocturno. Lunes, 23 horas.
Moneda de cambio. Martes, 18 horas. Conduce Mario Rodríguez Muñoz. Martes, el mundo de los negocios, 18 horas. Por los que saben de negocios.
Todos los martes a las 23 horas
te esperamos para compartir
con Luz Propia.
Un programa muy especial
donde nuestros invitados los envía el cielo.
Con Luz Propia.
Con la conducción de Claudia De Brasi
y Laura Luiselo. Te esperamos todos los martes
con Luz Propia.
Escuchen con Luz Propia.
Sentile el pulso a la ciudad. Radio Palermo.
Radio Palermo. 94.7. www.radiopalermo.com.ar. Producciones independientes.
Liceo Cultural Británico. En Martínez, Arenales 1928. Teléfono 4793-8808. www.liceobritanico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar en inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
Neither the show, its hosts, producers, nor anyone affiliated with the radio station is to be held accountable should you assume we have a sense of humor.
Strange.
Say what?
That's weird, man.
Watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister.
What?
You serious?
Yes.
What? Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you.
Oh, my God. I just love that intro to our
strange news. Great intro.
Okay, so let's talk about strange news. And also, I want to ask both of you guys, what is the strangest food you've ever personally eaten?
Who first?
You.
Okay. See you later.
Alligator. Oh, my God, Esteban, don't tell me crocodile now.
No,
you have to say
no.
In a while.
After what?
That's very good. No, I guess I would have to say. And it's not that strange, but horse.
Horse.
Horse meat.
How did it taste?
You know, I was very young. I was in Tunisia.
Okay.
I was like 13 years old. And I wasn't really...
13?
13.
In Tunisia?
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing at 13 in Tunisia?
And I had an appointment there.
An appointment?
No, I was with my great-grandmother.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I could speak French.
This is always full of... I've known
always
him
full of surprise.
For 4 years, but always like...
So anyway.
Who goes to Tunisia at 13 with the grandmother?
The grandson.
Not I,
the grandson
who
said, Granny, I want to go to Africa. And we were in Rome, and she said, honey, if you want to go, we'll go.
Aww. Were you as adorable when you were 13 as now?
Oh, absolutely. Anyway, so we were in Tunisia, and I thought, what is it? And they're talking about cheval, you know, which is horse. And I thought, can't mean I knew what horse was, but I thought it can't be horse meat. Well, of course it was.
So. And you found it to be just more like it's
a little
leaner,
sweeter,
I imagine.
Think, you know, I really didn't enjoy it that much. But at that time in Tunisia, there wasn't a big choice of foods.
Right.
So anyway.
Not a lot of options.
No, not a lot of options. And you?
Apparently my crocodile was complete. My alligator was completely...
Did you have that? Where did you have that? In Africa?
Here in Buenos Aires.
In Buenos Aires.
Which,
and it was
everyone
delicious.
Just says it tastes just like chicken.
No, better.
Yeah?
Better. It was very well cooked with spices and it was a long the guy had been cooking it for the whole day.
Why do you think it's more socially acceptable? Like if you say alligator, it's kind of like it's weird, but I don't think people don't go, but if you said horse
because horses
are charismatic, they're cuddly.
That's right, and people have a personal relation. Most people don't have personal relations with crocodiles or
they're mean.
Yeah, but for example,
most
people don't have personal relations either with they don't have pets which are giraffes.
Right.
Or lion, but if you would say you ate lion
or dog,
of course you can understand. Cat, you can understand that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I had rabbit and I hated it.
Really?
Horrible. And I also had pheasant, which was like the worst thing on my life. Not because of the taste, which was so, but there was so little
there
of it.
There was very little, yeah. I have to say I've had ostrich, and you know, I just came back from South Africa.
Yeah.
And in many parts of the world, that's very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was delicious, and it was very good.
Okay.
I like ostrich. I've had ostrich.
It's the body or the head?
No, the toes.
I love ostriches, though, because they have such beautiful eyelashes. Like, they're so feminine and beautiful.
No, they do.
So
they do.
I just think they're beautiful.
And when you get up close to them, and you're looking at them, and then they take their one claw and split your head. Yeah.
Then they're like not so cute.
So which is yours?
Well, the strangest thing I have ever eaten was when I was in Japan, and it was a really small whaling town called Taiji that I was doing a documentary.
Wait, in a whaling town? Maybe it was you ate...
Whale!
Oh, a whale! I thought a hamster, but okay.
Yeah, it was cooked, we had it two ways, sashimi style, which was just very blubbery and fatty and chewy. I actually have a video of me online where I'll have to post that, but I don't want to get like hate mail or anything. So I did it for the research. It was not because I needed to try.
Reasons.
No, I wanted to try because it was an interesting place that you know they've been whaling for 400 years. That's what they lived on post war. They utilized every part of the whale.
Well, it's like the Eskimos in the north.
Right. So it was really interesting. But I didn't like it. It was very chewy, didn't have a lot of flavor. We also had it fried more tempura style, which obviously anything fried is going to taste better. Just fry it up and, you know, you can
have
it.
What is that? A grudge? Can you fry it?
Yeah, just fry it and it'll be good. But whale was interesting. And you know, in Japan, they have whale in a can, kind of like we have tuna fish.
Right.
You can go to the grocery store and you have whale in a can.
Well, I know for a fact because, you know, I'm...
Always. In Taiji, I'm not saying all parts of Japan.
Okay, I always follow the politics that every year or 5 years, wherever, there's a meeting of the United Nations committee that regulates whale hunting and fishing.
Right.
And the country that is always like the leader of the let's hunt whales and kill whales and eat whales is Japan.
Yes.
Is practically one of the few countries, the
That's
only
right.
countries that is all about eating the whale.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's what we went there and spent about 2 weeks there to kind of discover, okay, we're no longer post-war. What is it? Is it traditional? Is it cultural? Why are we still hunting and eating whale? And part of what we actually ended up discovering besides just the whale, and I'm sorry, Japan, I love you. I have a Japanese restaurant. I love ramen, but like, not trying to bash specific cuisine, but whale is an odd thing to eat. But the other thing that was more crazy to find out was that they actually kill, you know, dolphins and they make it into dog food.
Ooh.
Which was, you know, dolphin has high mercury levels. Like, it's not good to eat dolphin for many, many reasons.
And but they're so cute.
Yes. Yeah.
You can swim with them.
Right.
So it was really fascinating. I will post the documentary online so everybody can see. It was really interesting.
Have you ever tried insects?
Well,
I mean,
crickets.
Not knowingly.
Yeah.
Grasshoppers, I've tried.
In Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is crunchy, deliciousness, great protein.
Well, when I was in Jakarta and also in what other city? I think in Cambodia, I don't know where. Uh-huh. They were selling as delicacies some insects in the street, like uh-huh. spiders or whatever. And people were fighting over who was going to have the delicious ant,
yeah.
for example. I said, no, thank you.
I remember years ago when I went on my very first trip to Burma in the 1990s before it was open, that I was starving. I was on this train and I was so hungry. And we made a stop. And these little kids were, not only little kids, adults were selling these foods on a stick. And I thought, oh, what is this? And I thought they were candied small little apples or cherries or something.
That works.
And I thought, well, you know, that's not really what you want to eat when you're starving, but I was starving. There was nothing else. So I said, I'll buy one. Anyway, it was sparrow heads.
Oh!
Just the sparrow heads, one after another on a skewer. Horrible things.
Delicious.
I didn't eat them.
Delicious.
I mean, insects don't gross me out as much.
They have a lot of protein,
but
don't they?
Yeah. They're very good. Basically that.
Yeah.
All protein.
Yeah.
Well, you know, did you guys ever watch that show with Andrew Zimmerman? He's a host for Travel Channel. And
eats all that disgusting stuff, right?
Yeah, and some of the stuff, like donkey, for example, is something, like, you just wouldn't think donkey. But the one thing that he said that he turned down, that he was like, I'm not going to eat, was, I forget which country, but basically it was chicken and liver intestines, but it seemed, like, raw. So he was like, that was a trip to the hospital.
That's a bridge
line.
Too far.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think it's hard because when you are traveling and you're in other, you don't want to be rude right. when it's maybe a family.
I can be rude.
Well, you can. You're better at it. But but no, it's hard.
It's true.
It's hard to turn away
it's
certain
true.
Things when
well,
you're trying to be polite.
What happened to me in the Falkland Islands, I was staying with families and they were all incredibly polite and incredibly fantastic. And I wanted to eat lamb, which is there, you know, very common, and a sheep and mm-hmm. whatever. And because I was their special guest and they have sheep every day, they wouldn't do it for me. So one day they say, oh, we have, you know, this is the best thing, the most amazing. And it was octopus, which I don't eat. I don't like octopus.
Oh, I love octopus.
But they were so, you know, polite and I couldn't say no. So I had it and lo and behold, I loved it.
Really?
And I had two huge dishes because it was so delicious.
Really?
But it was a special Croatian recipe.
Okay.
So, you know, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
But it was a delicious octopus.
I love octopus.
Apparently fished there, right there at the Falklands.
So now the Croats want to take over the islands?
Well, there's over 42 nationalities living in the Falklands.
You were staying with a Croatian family?
I was a guest at their place.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
They are
wonderful. What would you say, you guys, is your favorite Argentine food? Like, if you coming here, it was actually very difficult for me to kind of, because I always say in Argentina, it's the three P's: pizza, pasta, and parrilla.
Yeah.
And that's like the main focus. But I was craving.
Can you say parrilla?
Parrilla.
Very good, yes. Vanessa. That's a surprise.
I can roll my R's. But it was really tough because I was looking for, like, I wanted spicy foods. I had been in D.C. for a decade, and one of my favorite cuisines of all time is Ethiopian food.
Oh.
Because they use so many amazing spices, and I loved it. So I came here, and I'm like, where can I find Ethiopian food? Well, it turns out you can't.
Nowhere.
But I was like, I don't want to eat any more pizza. I don't want any more freaking pasta. And, yeah, I love a good asado, but I can't eat it every day either.
Right. Yeah.
So.
No, I like parrilla, but again...
But it's not.
A few years ago, like 20, I could eat parrilla every day or almost. Now, maybe once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Argentine cuisine being here?
It's extremely limited. Mm-hmm. And, of course, growing up here and living here in my life, I was, you know, not very objective.
Mm-hmm.
But after talking to a lot of people, Not least the Indian ambassador.
Okay.
Amarendra Katua, if you're listening, you're great.
Hello, hello.
And he said, you know, that it's true, that it's so limited, and especially it has so little preparation.
Right.
Because the whole point of asado, parrilla, barbecue, whatever, you kill the animal and then you
barbecue it.
Yeah, but it's like half an hour and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Indian food, for example, there's so much preparation that goes into the sauces,
right,
into the stages of the cooking.
This is why when you go out to a restaurant, that's the kind of restaurant I'll pay to go to, because
right,
I don't have all of those spices. And I'm not going to buy a big tin of a spice just because I need a little
pinch
of spice.
Or right. Esteban will disagree here, but Russian food is amazing.
I also disagree.
But because you
had the worst experience in Russia. We ended up eating at the same place. We found like one good place, and it wasn't even traditional Russian food. When it actually come to find out, there was one in St. Petersburg, so it was even more of like a chain. But there was nothing good that we had food-wise.
Well,
I stuck to the vodka.
We had a lot of homemade, you know, Russian dishes.
Maybe that's the difference.
We went to a lot of restaurants, and there is a lot of thought put into that food, a lot of preparation, a lot of love. So
there's one cake in Russia that I wish I knew the name, but it's like this very flaky, layered cake. And it was delicious. I used to work with a Russian girl, and she would bring it. Svetlana, Tatiana, which is true. That was their names.
Yes.
But I wish I knew, because I actually liked the Russian sweets, but not so much that, like...
The soups of borscht.
Yeah, okay.
That's delicious.
A lot of things are fantastic in Russia. But what do I think about Argentine food? It's limited. It's juvenile, if we can say that. It's very, you know...
And Argentines love salt.
It's very
salt on everything.
That's the spice of preference.
Yeah.
It's very shallow.
But if you put pepper on anything, then they're like, it's so spicy. And I'm
like,
it's pepper.
When you go to restaurants, you don't even have a pepper shaker on the table.
No.
I mean, you can't in the city of Buenos Aires right now, it's forbidden to have a salt.
Yes, because it got so out of control.
But all of my friends they take the salt shaker.
Yeah, before even trying the food.
I eat everything without salt. I like it cooked without salt, and I'm like the opposite.
Now, I have to tell you, I do love Argentinian food. And I know that it could be rather limited, but I would find something on the menu
which I love. Yeah, it's okay.
And I have to tell you, if somebody would say, you order one thing, I would order a milanesa with papas fritas.
Milanesa is great.
It's like a schnitzel with fries.
Milanesa is great. And in this place, I'll say this, we go to the commercial, that is 2 blocks from our place, we found that they do a milanesa fugaceta. That is like a fugaceta pizza with the onion and the cheese and on top of a milanesa.
Oh, okay.
So that is great.
I could throw down with that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
94.7 RPLM Radio Palermo. Producciones independientes.
Liceo Cultural Británico en Villa Crespo, Corrientes 5305. Teléfono 4793-8808. www.liceobritanico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar en inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
You can reach us at thetypicalmistake@hotmail.com and on MSN Messenger, same address.
Hi, this is Gina Tuttle, actress, voiceover artist, and four-time announcer for the Academy Awards. The typical mistake of announcing the Oscars is don't mispronounce someone's name and don't clear your throat on the mic. So, you're listening to The Typical Mistake on Radio Palermo 94.7 FM, brought to you by Liceo Cultural Britannico. Have a great day. Buenas noches.
And we're back with The Typical Mistake, and we were talking about our favorite foods. And here in Argentina, we have a magazine which is relatively well-known about fine living, fine dining, and it's called the Joy Magazine.
Yes.
And it says here that when pooled, most Argentinians, their favorite food in the world.
Drum roll, please.
Is an asado, so basically a barbecue.
Yeah.
Followed by the milanesa, which is like a schnitzel with fries, pizza, empanada, locro, also known as baby vomit, choripan, which is sort of like a sausage.
In a bread. Oh, I love choripan.
Bread, French bread. Raviolis with tuco, which is a tomato sauce. Humitas, which are North Argentinian sort of indigenous food. Flan, which is
more
wonderful,
Mexican,
delicious.
Though.
Dessert with dulce de leche, which is like a caramel type of dessert. And queso en dulce.
I love that one.
So. Okay. So basically, you just named all of Argentina's cuisine. That's true.
It's limited.
There ain't anything else, but no. Actually, look at that.
There were 10 different things.
Yeah.
And there's only 7 days in the week.
Yeah, so you get a bonus three.
All the time.
How exciting.
Okay, in the last few weeks, this is the countries from where people are listening to us. For example, Zambia. There was one listener
Zambia
from
Zambia.
Zambia.
Oh.
not Xanax. Like.
No, I thought you said zombie, like the land of the zombies.
Zombies, could be. Okay, pick a couple of countries.
All right, Romania, Portugal, Poland, Philippines, and Peru.
Yeah, they're also listening in Oman and Nepal and Panama.
And Moldova.
Moldova, that's nice.
Laos.
Moldova's having horrible problems right now.
Yes, yes.
Hong Kong, Finland, Egypt.
Yeah, Ukraine, Israel, Uruguay, of course, South Korea. This is the people that stay after the previous show.
Yes. And, of course, Canada, Germany, Australia, Spain, Brazil, and, of course, China, which we have a lot of listeners. So I want to hear about what you guys think about Chinese being the most popular food. So, but I would also say food is so much about when you're growing up, where you grow up. So, for example, you know, I was born in Puerto Rico, and then we moved to Mexico until I was about 5 years old. So for me, my food, I think you get a lot of your taste buds when, you know, when you're younger and you're trying. I grew up eating hot sauce and, like, lemons with salt because it was just so normal in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So, and I have three other sisters, and we're all the same. We have hot sauce in our purses. We put it on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love bold Mexican flavors. It's my favorite cuisine. So I think I grew up with that, and then my mom's from England, so one of my favorite things, and Matthias, my husband, almost vomited when he tried it, but I grew up, it's Bovril and toast. So you get
what is it?
It's called Bovril and toast.
I don't know what that
is. All you Brits out there hopefully know what I'm talking about. You get a piece of toast, and you slather some butter on it, and then it's called Bovril. Now, in Australia, it's Marmite. That's the more popular one.
Oh, yeah.
Vegemite.
Vegemite. And there's Marmite.
And there's Marmite from England.
Yes. Marmite is from England, and you're right. Vegemite in Australia. But Bovril is basically, it's a beef extract.
Yes.
And you would make it to make a broth, like a beefy broth.
Right.
So it's kind of pasty and liquidy, but you just put that on the toast.
Yeah, but just a little bit.
Just a little, but enough to get, you know, the whole piece of toast. And it's like eating a beefy flavor
but
piece of
toast.
But
it's a very acquired taste.
And it's delicious. I crave it. I love it. But everybody else would think, oh, my God, you're crazy. It's disgusting.
Well, when I was growing up and still today when I'm alone because people hate it, I would experiment and, you know, have, for example, meat with honey or meat with marmalade or jam or a lot of, you know,
chutneys and meats go
together. Mixes that people, you know,
think is disgusting.
Yes, but to me. Or, for example, milanesa con dulce de leche.
You see? Well, I have to tell you, one of the national dishes of the Czech Republic is this sirloin beef with a sauce with dumplings. Of course, they have to be dumplings. And it is served with like a cranberry marmalade.
You see? Mm-hmm.
When I was little, I used to actually drink pickle juice from the jar straight out. I would open the refrigerator.
I have a friend in Prague.
I love it.
My
it's
friend,
good.
Father Bill, who is American, but he's been living in Central and Eastern Europe more than half of his life. And I buy pickles for him. And I always drain him. He said, what are you doing? Give it to me. And he drinks.
Well, my wife, when she was pregnant.
Okay, well, that's allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, the strange cravings
of pickles.
But
listen, because it's like a vampire. She would come home and say, I need a lemon. So she would like cut a lemon in half and suck the whole lemon juice out of the lemon.
Mm-hmm. That's what I used to do with salt.
And then she would kiss you. No, that's very good for the lips. They said you pucker very well.
Yeah. Acid.
Very. So she was craving very acidic.
I have a lemon every morning.
That's actually really good for you. Very healthy.
I take a lemon, I squeeze it.
It's good for what?
Yes,
it's
for very your metabolism.
That's right. And I add some hot water to it.
Yes, actually hot water and lemon is the first thing you should do in the morning.
Every day.
To kickstart your metabolism.
That's what I do every day. The only, and the rest of the day goes down.
And then it's choripan. Damn it, I know.
I'll take your word for it. People that are listening and liking us right now, Sabrina Contreras, Natalia Dergam, Jacqueline, Mariana Garcia... Cecilia, and well, it says two others. So
and Mariana Garcia.
Yes.
Have you guys tried one of the new things? Is called it's cotton candy grapes.
No,
never heard of them.
Yeah, so that's like supposedly one of the big things that I know in the States. You can go now to the grocery store, and you go and they're now cultivating these grapes that taste just like cotton candy. They're still grapes. They still have the same.
It
health.
Sounds like a mad scientist did it.
I love it. I'm dying to try. If anybody is coming from the States to Argentina, please mule me some cotton candy grapes.
Oh, okay. Well, before we leave, I want to talk about this French.
And make sure you offer one to the customs man.
Yes. The kickback is never, you know, this is Argentine culture. I want to talk about the French food critic that published a review of a restaurant. Yes. And guess what happened?
Je ne sais pas.
They got fined.
Oh, mon Dieu.
He was fined $10,000.
Ah, oh, mon Dieu. De
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
No, just well, I'm a married man, but talk to Esteban.
That's all I know. Okay.
Yes, you know what it means.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
So
she listens to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is incredible. This is a French restaurant that is called...
Oh. L'Oiseau. Yeah. L'Oiseau des Ducs.
Yeah, what does it mean?
The bird of the if I can't see that it has a it should have an accent there.
I don't know what does it mean.
The bird of the Duke.
Of the Duke, yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, this French food critic published a review of that restaurant, and it said, and Vanessa will read it.
It says, very overrated, it was all show, there was very little on the plate, and the only thing that was well loaded was the bill.
Ooh.
Ouch.
That's harsh.
Ouch.
That's harsh.
So the restaurant took this critic to court, sued him, and won. Why do you think he won?
Why, pray tell, would he win?
Because the review was published 5 days before the restaurant even opened.
Right. So that was malicious intent.
Yes.
Because the owner, the person who wrote the critique...
Is what?
Owns L'Oiseau des Rennes.
Yeah, but it could be. But I mean, I think that... And I, myself, having a restaurant, you have to be open to critique and review.
Sure.
And sometimes it's hard because you pour your heart and soul and then you get somebody who's like, eh... It was okay. And you're just like destroyed because you're like, what do you mean?
Yes.
Or then they say something that's not even true.
But how do you take a lot of, I mean, not only you, but I think all of us, when we read a review about something, you take it as God's truth?
No, you take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. You literally have to because I feel...
A ton of salt.
How many times have you read a review about a film or a book, for example, and you read the book or you've seen the film... And you think it was superb,
yes, exactly.
And yet it got crappy results.
Because food is just like art, and it's subjective, and you have to be able to, you know, what you think is delicious and amazing is what you think is delicious.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean I will. So right. I think it gives you, you know, an overall kind of, if there's multiple people saying that this is terrible, terrible, then okay, when you start in large quantities seeing that's repetitive.
That's what we do with my wife before going to a restaurant. We always go to a website called Guia Olio.
Yeah.
That is like the Amazon.com of restaurants here.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, like, if the first 100 opinions are... Excellent, we go.
Right.
And if the first 50 are bad, then we don't go. But
right.
It's like crowd sourcing.
Right. It's kind of just more, I think numbers don't lie, and that
exactly.
More statistical. But then you get, you
and
know.
Also how they are written. Because one thing is, you know, the food was cold, and I don't have anything against the owner, but, you know, the dessert was something objective.
Right.
But then you always have the idiots that think that they are like, you know, this French critic, and say, well... The sauce should have been, you know, 3 degrees warmer.
Right.
And the, well.
Like, who are you?
Yes, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And I also think that, you know, it's, you have